Welcome to Books and Beyond with your host, Alison. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in a library, yeah. Standing there behind the counter, willing to help with all the problems that I encounter.
No mai, haere mai, kia ora, and welcome to our Books and Beyond Literary Lounge with Alison and Inika. Kia ora, Inika.
Bulavanaka, Alison, happy Fijian language week.
Yeah, bula. Now, on today's show, we're going to be talking about what we've been reading, and then what's on our TBR lists, our to-be-read lists, and then we should have one or two hot tips to share with you today. So now, Inika, would you like to start today? Because you managed to get away for a couple of days last week, and I know you were hoping to read Up Large while you were away. How did it go?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, I always have a big stack, and holidays is my big time to catch up on some of that. I did read a decent amount, and I'm returned another good stack with just a few chapters read. Sometimes I just have to get a bit of a feel for it before I have to reluctantly send it back when the due dates come in. Bit of a greedy request to Alison.
But isn't that the joy of public libraries? You just request, request.
No harm, no foul, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I actually thought I might drop in an early hot tip for some other greedy readers at Auckland Libraries. It's perfectly made for holidays. And now, apologies if you've heard this one before, but it's one of my favourites. So this is Freeze and Unfreeze Your Holes.
Ah, yes.
So good. So what you can do is you can jump into your library account, go to the requests queue, and tick the Freeze Holds box beside all of those books that are creeping up to the top of the queue and starting to get, you know, where you're starting to reach that magic one first in the queue. And then press save. And then what you can do is you can come back into your library account about a week before the start of your holiday, untick, and that will unfreeze your holds. You'll be ticking away at number two at that point, hopefully on quite a few of them, and hit save. And then that will kind of release the load and you can grab all of your holiday reading in one fell swoop before you head off.
It's such a good system, isn't it?
It's really good.
Because, you know, I always think that Murphy's Law applies to libraries. And if you don't freeze, they'll all arrive at once while you're away.
We've all had that. Yeah, that's right. Or even if you're not away, you know, getting them all at once. And if you've just got if they're really hot reads and you've only got the months, then, you need to kind of spread them out a bit. So that can be used any time of year, but especially good for holidays.
Good on you. No, that's a great tip.
Yeah. Now, how's this for turn up for the books, Alison? The three books that I'm going to talk about today are all written by male authors.
Wow.
I know, it's been a while, right?
Mm.
Yeah. I should point out here that I am not a man hater. I love many, many men. Not like that, just in case my husband is listening.
Oh, yeah. Now, does he listen to us?
No, he doesn't. He's actually listening to everybody else's podcasts apart from ours. Yeah.
Well, I'm a great man lover too. That just sounds so wrong.
I know, sounds so wrong and so right and so wrong.
Yeah.
Well, all the other marvellous men in my life are also listening to everybody else's podcast but mine, so I think I need to get onto that.
Mm.
But many of my very favourite authors and books I've written, of course, by male authors.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And so, you know, of course, there's too many to mention. But I must admit, in the last few years, I have been leaning fairly heavily towards books written by women, partly by chance and partly by choice. The first book I want to talk to you about today is The Humans by Matt Haig. This is from the Adult Fiction Collection, and you'll find it in any format you can think of at Auckland Libraries. It's from 2013, so it is still quite popular, but you should be able to find a copy pretty quickly. It's available as a guaranteed available ebook on Overdrive, along with lots of other Matt Haig's books at the moment. And you can also find it as an e-audiobook on two of our ebook platforms, Overdrive and BorrowBooks. Now, that does happen quite a bit. You can shop around on our ebook platforms for the same title. And if you do a one-stop search on the catalogue, you'll see everything we have, regardless of where it's sitting in the library or in the online space.
Because BorrowBox has some real hidden treasures, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah.
It's good to keep it in mind.
Definitely, especially if you're an audiobook lover. Yeah, I really, really think it's fab, yeah. Anyway, the humans, Matt Haig. So the story goes that we start with Professor Andrew Martin, who is a Cambridge University professor. His body has just been taken over by an alien, and the alien's master is intent on suppressing the answer to the age-old mathematical riddle that Andrew has just solved. Now, the galactic plan is for this alien to get close to all of the people that are connected to Andrew, so his family, colleagues, and then murder them to make sure that the secret of this riddle, or the answer to this riddle, doesn't come out. Sounds interesting?
Yes. Yeah. I like the mathematical part of it.
I thought you would, yeah. And I'm sure you would understand that bit much more than me. We do find this bit out in the first five pages, so don't think that I'm spoiling it for you all. I hope you agree. But, yeah, first five pages, this all comes out pretty much. I finished this one in just one sitting, so it's really fast.
Wow.
Yeah, fast and interesting. Well, that's what you can do on holiday, eh? Just plug in, tune out, and, yeah, drop into books. It's got a real folksy kind of aren't humans weird sort of a bent to it, and it's got lots of warm human heartbeats coming throughout, despite that sort of murderous intent that is also ticking away in the background. I must admit, I can't actually remember if we found out why the riddle is so potentially devastating for the universe. And now I'm thinking I might have read it a bit fast and missed something important. So, yeah, if you read it, Alison, please let me know if I missed something important. Now, this was a pretty good read for me. It wasn't great. Like, for me, it wasn't great. I was actually really surprised because it came highly recommended from lots of family friends. Mm. So, you know, take what I'm saying with a pinch of salt here. It may have just been the wrong book for my mood on the day. You know, mood does have a massive part to play.
Oh, yes, it sure does.
Reading,
yeah. And I've been feeling that this year particularly.
So much, hey, yeah. Mm. So that's right. It's just really got to be right. But to be honest, I did have the same issue with another Matt Haig book that I'd read a couple of years ago, How to Stop Time. In that case, it's really got a lot of the same similar elements. In that case, you had a super slow ager rather than alien. So it's sort of got a time traveller and immortal kind of vibe, fish out of water again. Kind of humorous, kind of romantic, kind of philosophical, kind of sad, actually kind of meh for both of them, for me. But he does have a huge fan base, so he's not going to be worried.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be either. I do wonder if Douglas Adams might have ruined it for me. I'm a huge Hitchhiker's fan, and this does cover some of the same ground.
Me too. I just loved The Hitchhiker's Guide.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. His writing is so good, and I just think he might pip Haig at the post.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
It might sound a bit fuddy-duddy, but I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are lots of other authors working in the same space as Haig, so that urban fantasy with lots of heart and humour. I would recommend the Ben Aronovich's series, The Rivers of London.
Oh, okay. I'm not really familiar with those.
It's really fun. It's set in the London Met, are looking at paranormal crime. So it's a cross between, like, Wellington Paranormal, that TV series.
Which I love.
So good.
Yes.
And also, it's got definitely got shades of, like, Charlene Harris's Sookie Stackhouse Mysteries and True Blood and those ones.
Yeah.
Heaps more for me to discover in that one. I haven't yet told fantasy to get in the see, like you mostly have, Ellie.
I mostly have, but I mean, I adore things like Wellington Paranormal.
Well, that's so, right. So, urban fantasy, when they get it right, it gets it so right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so great. And now, has he just released another novel?
Yes, he has. He's just released The Midnight Library. It just came out.
Right.
I am in the list for it, and yes, I will be reading it because I don't think it has aliens. And, I mean, who can resist? Midnight Library.
Oh, sounds good.
I know, I'm not a monster.
Especially with no aliens.
That's right.
Sounds good. Yeah, well, look, probably from one extreme to another. I read a book over the last week and it just absolutely moved me to tears, literally. Oh. Tears of despair and joy and everything in between those two feelings. And this one, it's called 14, and it's written by a man called Shannon Malloy, and it's also available in ebook form.
Mm.
Man, it is so, so good. It's a coming-of-age memoir, and it's set in very small-town northern Queensland in the late 1990s.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not that, well, I'm showing my age. It doesn't feel that long ago.
No, it doesn't feel long ago to me either.
Yeah. So anyway, and of course it's a true story. So this, when he was 14, Shannon was attending an all-boys rugby-obsessed Catholic school, and he was starting to have questions about his sexual identity.
Right.
So, but the other kids and the teachers at the school suspected that he was gay even before he had any awareness of that. So when we meet him, he's 14 and he's quite happy in his life outside of school. He helps his mum at her hairdressing salon, and he's really good at it. He talks to all the women that come in to get their hair done. And
gorgeous.
Yeah, and he just sounds like such a lovely young man. And he spends every weekend with his three best girlfriends, and they dance to, you know, the pop music of the time, like S Club 7, Britney Spears and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, but I would have loved to have a friend like that when I was that age.
Yes. And sometimes they'll go retro and listen to Madonna's Vogue and that sort of thing, which actually is more my era. But then, so this is all fantastic, but his terror starts every day when he's at school. And the other boys punch him, they kick, they spit at him, he gets strangled, you know, just everything beaten up, his school uniform gets ripped, and they're just screaming things in his face the whole time, like, dirty faggot, and you're going to die, poofter, and it's just a living hell for him. And the poor young guy, he desperately doesn't want to be gay, even though he says that at 14 he didn't really even know what that meant,
it's
what everyone calls him. But he just knew that he needed to hide his more feminine characteristics in order to save his own life.
Oh, my goodness.
My God, it's sad. And it makes you sort of angry too, because the teachers at the school, they're just as bad as the bullying boys. He's got no allies. And he talks, it's really interesting, he talks about the Catholic educational institutions of the time, that, and they had these so-called ideals of moralistic mateship. And the school was producing sort of cohorts of good blokes who would go out and be leaders in their community. But in fact, the schools were just producing these sort of horribly misogynistic, hyper-masculine and dangerous men.
Oh, my goodness.
And his only currency at the school was masculinity. And, of course, he was flat broke.
Oh, God.
But thank goodness he finds safety and comfort in his writing and reading, as often people do, and also in his very close-knit group of girlfriends. So, he finds some unlikely allies along the way, and he takes quite a journey, both in the literal sense and the sort of spiritual sense, and he eventually he's finding pride in his authentic self. So, but I reckon everyone should read this book, and I think it should be in every school library too.
Sounds it so good.
It is amazing. And, you know, and I hope his schoolyard bullies, those people that tormented him, read it and feel absolutely horrible for what they did, and also that they bring up their own kids to be better humans. But, oh, my God, it's a good one.
Wow, so that was 14 by Shannon.
By Shannon Malloy.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be seeking that one out.
Yeah, it's really something.
Well, I think it's interesting, actually, because my next holiday read actually really ties in with that. It's also set in an all-boys school, a private school in this case, and deals with toxic masculinity and bullying. This one is fictional, although the author does make it clear that it's got its roots in actual events. So my next read was Spriggs by Branavang Ngangalingam.
Oh, yes.
New Zealand
writer.
I've heard
him interviewed on the radio.
Yes.
Yeah. He's great, isn't he?
He is. He's an absolutely fantastic writer, and he has just knocked it out of the park with this one. It was just released in July. So an important thing just to point out at the outset with Spriggs is that there is a content warning list at the beginning of the book, which you should read. It's extensive, but it does show the sensitivity of the author to his book's potential for triggering, particularly for survivors of sexual assault. And Branavan is actually one of those.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
it's good that that's set out at the beginning,
yeah,
isn't it?
Right at the beginning. That's right. So the book starts and opens, and this is quite unusual for something I would normally read, is with a detailed breakdown of a rugby game between the private school in question and their grammar school rivals.
Oh, and because that's huge in New Zealand.
Apparently so. Yeah, like, yeah. This has not been part of my experience whatsoever, really. But absolutely, it is huge. And this gives you everything that's going on the pitch, off it, all the little side conversations, all the little issues that are going on for the different people. Just hang in there if you're not a sports fan, because it is really crucial to setting the scene for what's following. And what's following is actually the after party and then the aftermath of the after party.
Oh.
Yeah. So really the core event of this book is a sexual assault, so I'll just put that out there. And so that's important to know from the start. It's got a really large cast of characters. They will also, actually, the front of this book is so informative. It's got a list provided at the start of every character, because at the start it can be a little bit difficult to work out who is there, particularly at the boys' school, because they're all calling each other by rather than first names, it's usually surnames or nicknames.
Mm.
And yeah, and then you've got a lot of teachers who also, some of them are being called by their surname and so on. You'll get into this one, though, as you go on, because you'll be absolutely gripped.
Mm.
Yeah. And we hear lots of their takes on the central event in the book. First, in the aftermath, directly after. So you sort of get the events leading up to it. Then there's a gap in the middle. Then you get the aftermath. And then you actually get the events at the end of the book, really, or close to the end. As I said, it does take on toxic masculinity, and it's particularly around the, but he's a good boy and he's heading for a good future kind of rhetoric, and how that plays out for all of the characters in different ways, depending on whether they're the perp, the victim, the parents, or, you know, the cops and the media. And so they actually go into all the different strands, of course, the teachers and the lawyers and all different people come involved, and it all kind of relies on that, the gender, the privilege, the race, the circumstance, how far they were away from the action, sorry, that's a terrible term to have used. Yeah, but I loved that. Actually, it also has lots of characters in here that do the absolute right thing in really difficult circumstances, and they speak out and shake the boat for our main character Priya, who is a 15-year-old Sri Lankan New Zealander. And they do it in the ways that they personally can. So for some of them, it's a small step. For some of them, it's a much bigger step. But all those little ways help to support Priya in her time of need.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds huge.
It's huge. It's huge. The ending is also perfectly pitched, realistic. Realistic ending, I would say. This is a really a New Zealand book of its time. It's absolutely gripping. The writing and the voices and the plot are just so authentic. You will recognise so many of the characters in this book, for better or for worse. It really needed to be written, and it needs to be read too. Ngaia Lingam's writing is just absolutely going from strength to strength. I reckon this one is going to be on the list for the Auckland Book Awards, along with some of our wonderful reads of this year, Nothing to See by Adam.
Oh, yes.
And Amy McDade's Fake Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been really blessed, haven't we? We've been able to chonk into some wonderful books.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're already picking them, aren't we?
That's right. Yes, you heard it here first. This sounds so good and so appropriate to this day and age, isn't
it? Absolutely. Listen, it has got a bit of a queue. Get in the queue right now at Auckland Libraries. Of course, you can also buy it from your local booksellers. We want to support local authors.
Yep, absolutely.
So important. But if you want to try his writing while you wait in the queue for it, try Sodden Downstream.
Oh, yes.
Also set in Wellington with a Sri Lankan main protagonist, refugee woman. Absolutely great read too. Really highly back that one as well.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, well, you know, this has been such a year of just, I don't even have words for this year. No one does, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I've found that during the difficulties of this year, I've kind of really wanted to read, at times, books that are sort of have a happy ending.
Oh, I'm looking for
the rom-com, the, you know, the those sort of things. And I found the perfect one for everyone to read.
Fantastic.
You will love this.
Spill it, Ellie.
Now, it's called Lasting Standing, and it's by Lauren Ho. And it's also available as an e-book and in lots of formats.
Yeah.
Now, Lauren Ho is so funny. She's has been compared to Helen Fielding, if we're going back a little bit.
Bridget Jones.
Yeah, the whole Bridget Jones thing.
Yep.
But a lot of more contemporary writers too who are clever and funny. So the this is such a romantic, fun romp, and it's through Singapore, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So it's been called the Bridget Jones for millennials.
Awesome.
So it's the Bridget Jones of today, because Bridget Jones is a bit dated in some ways when we look at it.
I still love it though.
Yeah, I know, it's a good one. So set in Singapore, the main character, she's a 30-something successful lawyer called Andrea Tang. She's wise, witty, flawed, and she's really unlucky in love. She has the most unfortunate cringe-making missteps, and she makes terrible faux pas all the time, just like Bridget. And the book's been written in diary form, and it chronicles her fast-paced life that's unravelling at speed, and her meddling mother and her meddling aunties, because they're trying to find her a suitable husband. And it's just full of hashtags such as FML.
FML? I don't know what that one is. I'm too old for that.
Oh, well, you're so young, but it's F My Life. So it's so funny. But if you loved Crazy Rich Asians, you'll love this.
Oh, I did, actually. So yeah, I think I'm going to get this one.
Clever. It's hilarious. Just the sort of tonic that we need for this year. It's Pride and Prejudice for 2020.
Cool.
It really is.
Oh, wow.
So, I'm sort of looking at the TBR list. Now, there's one that I do want to read. It looks so good, called Dear Edward. It's a novel by Anne Napolitano.
Oh, yeah, yes, you did that well.
Yeah, and it's available in e-book form as well. It sounds horrible. It's about but it's
great.
Yeah, might be just what we need for this year. It's about a plane crash in America, and I initially thought it was going to be set in the 9/11 period, but it's actually, I've realised it's post 9/11, and it's there's a plane that does crash in America, but I think the story's mainly more about the aftermath of the crash, and it's going to be about survivor guilt and how, you know, what happens if you survive something that maybe you shouldn't or maybe wouldn't have normally, etc. But it's had really good reviews, and I'm excited to read that one.
That sounds good. Actually, I remember from the 90s there was that one, Miss Wyoming by Douglas Copeland.
Oh,
and wasn't she the only survivor of a plane crash?
Yes.
It would be a different kettle of fish in terms of the way they take it, though, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be good to compare those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on my list, obviously I've got heaps as per usual, but I'm going to stick with my men's, and I'm going to choose David Mitchell's Utopia Avenue.
Oh, yes.
It came out this year. I really loved Cloud Atlas and some of the other ones. They've got such interesting structures with the Buddhist reincarnations and all that sort of thing. Just so good. Actually, though, he's playing it reasonably straight with this one, as far as I can see. It's the story of a 70s rock band sort of coming together and falling apart in London. Well, it starts in London.
Fabulous. As you do.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds a bit like Daisy Jones and the Six, which came out last year, and I loved that one. That one had a real Fleetwood Mac
vibe. That's the Fleetwood Mac, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that VH1 kind of behind-the-scenes interview structure. But this one is, I think, a more of a straight structure, and it's considerably chonkier. So I'll just see how I go, and I'll let you know.
Can't wait to hear how it goes. Hey, look, I've got time for a hot tip. I've got this amazing website to tell you about.
Oh.
It's one that I've been a fan of for quite some time, and it's called Literature Map, and it's the tourist map of literature. And it's got a horrible URL, though. That's my criticism of it, because it's literature-map.com.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel really just not right. If there's a dash in a URL, there must be.
Sometimes they're a necessary evil, aren't they?
Yeah.
We're in 2020 now. Internet's been around for so long.
Yes. Don't put dishes. Yeah, but anyway, so literature-map.com, but it's worth it. Once you get past that, you'll be sweet. So it's like an online Who Writes-like tool. But often in libraries we get asked things like, I've been reading Margaret Atwood. Can you recommend an author who writes like her?
Mm.
And then, you know, that time, and you'll go blank and you think,
yes, I do know that feeling, yes.
So you use your literature map. So you type it in. So say you'd bring up the map and you'd type in, say, Margaret Atwood, and then a cloud of names appears. And the closer on the map the name, the other names are to, say, Margaret Atwood, the more similar
they are
in their writings.
This is different than I thought it was going to be.
So, for example, using our Margaret Atwood example, we get names close to her like Zadie Smith, Geoffrey Eugenides, Haruki Murakami, Donna Tartt, etc. The tool, it's surprisingly accurate. Now, it was actually designed by mathematicians. They were students at, I think it was MIT the States. And I'm pretty sure it was like a PhD project. And it uses algorithms to sort of suggest similar authors. But it's surprisingly accurate. And believe me, I've tried to break it many times.
There's no doubt about that.
But it comes up with really good suggestions. Most of them aren't out of left field at all. So these mathematicians have done a good job.
Mm.
But I must say, it's no substitute for a really good librarian or a good bookseller or someone who's a real reader and a human.
There's never going to be a substitute for those people, is there?
No, that's right.
Never.
But it's a really fun sandpit to get in and play around with.
Sounds so cool. I'm going to have a play.
And I can remember working in the... Oh, I shouldn't sort of say this, but... Oh, I will, just between us.
Sure. In all of those.
Yeah, working in the branch library, and if we were doing a late night or something, and we, you know, sometimes in your late night you might have about 10 minutes at the end when you're just thinking,
I'm time,
but you're waiting for your last customers to check out, and sometimes the couple of us would play on desk when we're on the desk, as they say, so it's like a sandpit, and we'd put in an author. So it was work related, wasn't
it? Of course it was.
Research.
Yeah.
And you'd put in a name like, I don't know, Jane Austen, and just see who'd come up. And
that's an awesome way to use those last 10 minutes.
Yeah, just...
Definitely.
Yeah, just before you need to sort of shuffle.
Yep, levelling up, right?
Yes.
It's levelling up for librarians.
And it's research.
It's research.
Fun. But it's a real sandpit. It's great. Love it.
Sounds so good. Okay, yeah, I really thought that was going to be different. I thought it was going to be like, go to a world map and find, I know there's one out there where you can find where books are set on a global map, and then go and visit those and see whether it's accurate. Yeah.
Yes, that might have a different URL. That's probably got the URL without the dash.
Maybe it does. Yes. I'll bring that one another time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, my only suggestion would be please change the web address because it makes me feel anxious. I probably need to see
You want to be found if you're going to have your URL.
Yeah, but I probably need to have an intervention about that anyway.
It does sound a little bit like your problem.
Yes, I've got a problem with it. But look, that's been really great. We're running out of time, sadly.
Aww.
Yeah, but so to our listeners, look, thanks for tuning in today and take care and be kind to yourselves. That's my message. And haere rā, ka kite anō.
Brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/books and beyond. Every day, every day, every day, every day.